Our very special guest today is Zola Finch. Before we get to a formal introduction, so you can look this up on the web, as always, Zola's information will be posted at our website shortly after the show. We're speaking with Zola Finch. Her website is www.rmiinc.org. That's Rural Missouri Inc., RMI. They can be reached toll-free, 1-800-234-4971, Rural Missouri Inc. RMI is located in the great state of Missouri in Jefferson City, the capital. Zola Finch is the executive director and or president in some structures of one of the largest, most successful certified development companies in the United States, RMI. Zola's company operates as an area of operation in all of Missouri, Kansas, Arkansas, and parts of Illinois. Zola's been with RMI since 1983, when RMI actually received their Small Business Administration license. And now this is the big one. Zola is the former chairperson of NADCO, the National Association of Certified Development Companies, which represents about 240 certified development companies such as RMI and NADCO in the United States. So NADCO is our trade association for all things 504. Welcome to the show, Zola Finch.
Thank you, Scott.
How are you today?
I'm good and glad to be a part of the show here.
Well, great. Thanks for coming on. Zola is in Jefferson City, where the headquarters is, and we have a number of questions for Zola about the 504 industry, about her and her life in Jefferson City. And we have some emailed questions in that came in when we did our pre-show e-letter asking different questions, and we'll get into those. I will give just a one very, very short testimony for those who don't know. When I was hired at NADCO, I was steered towards Zola and RMI for assistance. And she was one of the first people I talked to in the early stages of NADCO. And she provided a great amount of support, structure, industry technique to me to provide to NADCO. And so NADCO has always owed a great debt of gratitude to Zola and formerly Ken Lucanati, who was there at RMI. So we are forever grateful for that guidance in the early years. NADCO, Zola, do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. I remember you coming into my office. The two of us sat down at my table in my office, and I gave you forms and best practice tips, and it was a wonderful conversation, and we were so glad to be able to help you.
Well, I remember that too. I remember it like it was just yesterday. Yep, that was just a great help. Jason, I see you've got a question there.
Yeah, you know, Zola, you've done a lot with NADCO over the years and served in various capacities. Right now, are you currently serving on the Region 7 board?
Yes, I'm currently the Region 7 director for NADCO. There are 10 regions. We follow the SBA regions as outlined by the SBA. So NADCO has one representative from each region, and I'm the Region 7 director.
Okay. And, you know, what kind of does that entail? I know you guys have regular meetings and discuss potential policy changes, things of that nature?
Right. There's always a quarterly board meeting, and the board gets together and we discuss hot topics and what's going on the Hill. And as Region 7 director, part of my responsibility is after the board meeting is to report back to my CDCs in my region so they know what's going on with the 504 program and what's going on congressionally, and so they can be prepared for any changes and upcoming changes in the program.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I should jump right to it, but I know one of the biggest questions we've been getting, there are a lot of bankers out there that are very hot on the ability to refi existing government debt with a 504 loan, you know, which was included in the CARES Act. Have you heard anything on when the SBA might be able to implement those new rules?
Well, if I could do that and look in my crystal ball, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. At any rate.
A little too foggy right now?
Well, a little bit of clarity came about in a recent virtual board meeting with NADCO, in that the administration, the SBA administrator was supposed to be on board before they issued some regulations on that. And so now that Isabella Guzman is on board, then the Office of Financial Assistance at SBA is ready and has, and my understanding is that those regulations have been sent over to the Office of Management and Budget, which OMB, which they have to review before the regulation comes out. So my understanding is it has been sent over there. It's got a rush on it. And when that happens, OMB should turn that regulation in about 2 weeks. And then it will come out in the Federal Register as an interim final rule so that there can be comments, but the rule can take effect before any comments so that we can actually take that regulation and start moving forward with refi. So, you know, all I can say is just sit tight, be patient, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll see that interim final rule out on debt refi.
So this is Will here. Historically, refinancing existing government debt has not been allowed with the 504 and other government loan programs. What kind of interest are CDCs having in it? I know we're having a big interest here, but has it been a big hot button question? And do you think there's going to be a lot of this existing government debt to be refinanced?
Yes, Will. I really think there's going to be a lot to be refinanced. We currently are holding a pipeline and a list of loans ready to be refinanced, and I think we're holding anywhere between 12 and 18 loans that are going to be ready to go. I think other CDCs are doing that as well. Might be a good idea for CDCs to start making that list so that when the interim final rule does come out, they can either contact the lender or the borrower if they are not contacted first when the rule comes out. But yes, there's a lot of interest. Back in a little history, back in 2008, during the economic downturn and the Recovery Act that came out that year, we did 107 loans that year for refi, and that's like,
wow,
double our loan volume. Yeah. And that was when we were given the capability of refinancing government debt.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful tool that we will be able to have, because some of those 504 loans are at the, you know, 5 or 6 or even 7% interest rate. And right now our interest rates are running about 3%. And if you think about the cash that's going to save those small businesses, and right now that's very important, it's going to be a huge tool for us to be able to help those small businesses all across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, I'll just repeat it again for those that are looking it up. It's Zola Finch on the line. It is rminc.org or Google Rural Missouri Inc., RMI. It'll bring you to the website. And if you're anywhere in Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, and is it East St. Louis, Illinois, Zola?
Basically, it's 10 counties on the western side of Illinois.
Hello.
Yes.
So you're
the ones
in four
that are
states.
Right across metro areas like St. Louis, Cape Girardeau.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you have all of the state of Arkansas.
Correct.
Wow. Wow. Zola, if I might, I was going to get to the first question here that we've received from the listeners here. They are curious as to your educational background as well as professional certifications and training designations that you've achieved in your career.
Wow.
How about education and certificates? Let's reduce it to that.
Okay. Well, Just for a little bit of background, let me bore your audience a bit. I'm a music person, and I was going to go to college and be a music major. And then when I got to college and realized that I really couldn't and didn't want to do music full-time, it was more of a hobby. The realization came to me that I needed to do something different, and accounting had always been a favorite class of mine. So when I went to college, I ended up majoring in accounting, and I got a bachelor's degree in accounting in 3.5 years from William Woods University in Fulton, Missouri. And right out of college, I came to work here at RMI, right when they were certified, and got into the 503, now 504 program right off the bat. And then in 1995, I went back to school, and in 1996, I got my master's in business administration from William Woods University as well. They had an executive accelerated program, and so I did that in 14 months. I also have a certification from NDC, the National Development Council, where I'm a certified economic development specialist.
Wow.
So I've been through that certification as well.
Wow. Well, Azul, you're the church organist. I think, didn't you and I talk
about
that?
Yeah, I am. I didn't need a degree in music to be a church organist, you know, because it's strictly a volunteer position. But but I still have that as a hobby. So.
Wow, Will, you have a question.
Wow, Zola, that is an interesting story. Kind of funny how paths throughout life take you different ways, but you still are doing that music at the church. So
yeah,
so
love it. Absolutely love it.
That's great. So what are your takes on the overall economy right now, I guess, within the areas of operation that RMI operates within? How is the pulse of the small business economy, I guess, within your specific area? What kind of projects are you seeing, and how are the health of small businesses so far, at least kind of coming out of the pandemic? You know, we're still not fully out, but kind of coming out.
Well, you know, we have our share of small businesses that were struggling. The CARES Act payments helped them tremendously. And we have some restaurants, convenience stores, hotels in our portfolio that have struggled. And we have directed them to the recent Shuttered Venue grant program and the restaurant program that's going to open up May the 3rd. So we've tried to direct them to those programs so they can receive their grants. Many of our borrowers received PPP. Through the SBA, and that's been a very, very huge help to them. But it, you know, I call us in the heartland, and Scott, you are too. You know, we're in the heartland of the country, and things seem to happen here later than they normally do. But the good side I'm seeing is those small businesses have not backed away and have not stopped trying to grow, there's many of them out there thriving, and when we can get capital into the hands of those successful businesses so that they can create, you know, much-needed jobs, I'm seeing that it's pretty optimistic, actually, out there, especially in the state of Arkansas. That the state is really, really growing. The northwest portion of the state of Arkansas is growing very rapidly. We're seeing applications for professionals, ophthalmologist clinics. We're seeing daycares. So we're seeing lots of other projects instead of just your typical 504 hotel restaurants that you normally think of for 504, car dealerships. So we're seeing a lot of those other ones, and I think that speaks about the health of the heartland, if you will, of the territory we serve.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Zola, before I forget, you mentioned 503 and then to 504. I kind of remember, but why was it 503 and then 504? People would find that interesting.
Well, it's actually the identical program. It's the same program, but when 503 was started, as the three of you know, our money comes from the sale of debentures to the private markets right now, and that's where the money comes. To pay off the bank loan and put the money into the hands of the small business. So our program has privatized to the market in New York on Wall Street, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the 504 program. The 503 program, those debentures were bought and funded by the U.S. Treasury.
You're kidding.
Mm-mm. So it really was a government-funded program. Treasury was the one that put up the debentures and bought the paper every month that we offered, and so that was a 503. Then the year was 19. Oh gosh, I won't even say because I'm not exactly sure.
Mm-hmm.
But when the program decided to go private and go off of and out of the federal government and privatize it to the markets to the private markets, That's when it became the 504 program, and that's the only difference.
I was not aware of that.
Yep.
Well, that is interesting. Will, you have another question?
Wow, there's been some changes made over the years for sure. I did not know that either.
Yeah, the paper was actually funded by the Federal Financing Bank, by FFB.
I'll be darned.
Under 503.
Huh.
Zola, what kind of a mix are you seeing? The 25-year option for 504 loans has been out there for a little while now. What kind of mix are you seeing between the 20 and the 25-year for different businesses? Because of the pandemic, have some businesses been electing to go with that longer amortization to help improve their cash flow? Or have they been sticking with the 20-year option? What are you seeing for that?
We're seeing this 25 years getting a lot of traction. You know, it's a wonderful product, and we were so pleased that we were able to, through SBA and Capitol Hill, we were able to offer that 25-year product to our borrowers. And now that it's been out there for a while, that is a really growing area for 504 is the 25-year, and most people are opting into the 25-year.
Mm-hmm. Jason.
Yeah. Zola, you know, you had kind of touched on it before. You know, here in the Midwest, we seem to be somewhat insulated from the wide swings in the market that we see, and on either of the coasts. And, the recovery seems to be going fairly well here. And we seem to be seeing that in the 504 approval numbers, which nationally are way up. What would you attest that to? You know, is it just the low interest rate, the long term that we have to offer? Or do you think, you know, given the pandemic and maybe some increased risk out there, that banks are more likely to try and insulate some of that risk by going the 504 route on a deal that maybe in the past they would have just done in-house?
You know, I think all of that. I think the increase in activity can be contributed to everything you just mentioned. I mean, you can't go and get a commercial loan at 40% of it fixed rate at 3%. I mean, that just doesn't happen. And then banks with COVID and pandemic, they are trying to minimize their risks, and because I'm sure their portfolios have also had a bit of suffering because of COVID, and so I think they are trying to be pretty diligent about credit, and if they can, you know, minimize their risk to 50%, I think they're going to do it. And you know, quite frankly, the lender looks like a hero being able to offer 40% of a project a fixed interest rate for 25 years at 3%. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a huge, huge thing to be able to offer your small business customer.
That is huge.
So I think I think everything you just mentioned is a contributor to the increase in this program. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. That's great stuff there, Zola. I'm going to go to a question here, if I could, on an emailed in question. Given your success at RMI and your ascension from an entry-level staff person, basically, to executive director, president, and you have a family with a husband and a daughter, how did you manage your work-life balance? I think that's a great question. Could you talk a little bit about David and it's Caitlin? Is it Caitlin?
Caitlin? Uh-huh.
Your daughter.
Sure.
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about it? People would be interested to know.
Okay. Well, in my humble opinion, work-life balance is extremely important. The first thing in my life is my family. My husband, David, is in the military. He has been deployed twice. He is currently not working in the state of Missouri. He is on orders in continental U.S., but mm-hmm. not working in Missouri. So, you know, so that's a struggle because we are apart. So we've worked together and made that work. Two deployments is hard, and my husband would tell you that it's always harder on the ones left behind because, quite frankly, we're the ones that are there to cut the grass and shovel the snow and, you know, take care of the homestead, if you will. But that's the most important thing. And I think as long as you can keep that in the forefront, that's the most important thing. Work is important as well, but you can't let one get out of control over the other one. My work is extremely important. I'm very passionate about my work. I'm going to do the best job that I can, and I'm at the end of the day, I'm going to make sure that everything is done that I can. But I'm not going to let it interfere with my family, and it's actually worked out very well. My husband is a very career-minded person as well. So, but we've been able to make that work. And my daughter, who is now 19, is trying to figure out what she wants to do in life. And finance is not in her future, I don't believe. So, work and life balance is difficult. But as long as you can keep what's the most important and keep that priority, you can make it work and make it successful.
Mm-hmm. Well, question.
Following up the work-life balance, COVID and the pandemic obviously has kind of mixed that up with work-from-home schedules for a lot of businesses, and people would think that might have a detriment to the 504 program if office space is going away. What are your thoughts on office space and the future of that with a potential work from home flex schedules for a lot of businesses? I know it wouldn't affect all businesses like a car dealership, but offices specifically, what do you think of the work from home schedule and if office spaces are going to be a big fixture in the 504 program moving forward?
You know, I think that is going, it's going to have an effect on it. There's no doubt. We have here at RMI have felt the effect. You know, I'm sitting here in a 4,800 square foot building that I own, and I don't really need that. We have found we don't really need this much space, especially when most of us are working at home. And right now, we're kind of on split schedules when we come into work, and definitely in the professional world, COVID has had an effect on remote work, and it will affect office space going forward. But as you said, on the other hand, you know, you're still going to have your businesses out there, your convenience stores, your mom-and-pop shops, your car dealerships, your professional eye doctors and attorneys and places like that. They're still going to need office space maybe, but not as large. So it could affect it from that perspective. But, yeah, it's going to affect those. Now, retail, of course, and COVID has even affected retail with online shopping, et cetera. So, yeah, I think we are facing this is the transition into a different type of business world, and I have no idea what it's going to look like on the other side, but it is an interesting thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Just to follow that up, has any of it benefited you in RMI's operations with, you know, maybe turning to Zoom meetings or for NADCO Zoom meetings? Because I know NADCO has been doing a lot of stuff online to where you can just kind of click in now to where that might not have always been the case.
That's exactly right. NADCO has held virtual board meetings and virtual annual meetings and the spring summit. So right there, you have the savings of staff travel. For us, that's a huge savings. In addition to that, our marketing manager is not going out on the road because banks don't want people walking into their lobbies right now. They're not ready to open that up yet. And if they have, they are limiting it to the number of people that they have in their lobby. And I'm not so sure they want my marketing manager taking up space and taking up a person in their lobby right now. So we're not marketing that way. We've had to pivot, and we are marketing now through email, through telephone call. We are back to doing snail mail, and we would set, you know, my marketing manager would walk in with an item to give away to the lender, and right now we're now mailing those things out. That's still a savings because travel is so expensive for staff. We are now doing closings by virtually. We're not going into the banks and meeting the borrowers and bankers and doing them in the either place of business or bank. We are doing that virtually, and so that's a huge savings. So, you know, from a perspective of travel, and you know, that's a huge savings to a CDC. We've probably saved 20% or 25% of our budget just on travel
money.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Jason.
Yeah. So I'm gonna ask you to speculate a little more here, and maybe it's too early to do so, but we've been hearing about potential changes to the 504 program that might actually lower from our 50-40-10 down to potentially as low as 5% down. And, you know, one of the big questions that comes up is, okay, if the equity piece is going down, well, it has to come from somewhere else. That's either the 504 piece or the bank piece. So which one of those is going to increase to cover it? Have you heard at all what the plan is there, or is it still just too early in the ground stages to speculate on that?
You know, I think there's always discussion about how to improve or change the 504 program, and really to improve it. You know, I think there has been discussion about that with SBA. I think it's way too early to speculate on that type of a change. One of the biggest changes that, and we are waiting on regulation, but I think it's an important change, is the 504 Express program. Under the 504 Express program, certified development company such as RMI and NEDCO, we could do a 504 loan that was $500,000 or less, and we would have unilateral authority to approve that loan. We would not have to have SBA approval.
Wow.
Except for eligibility. And I think that's going to be a huge, huge product.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to benefit not only the CDC but the small business, because we'll be able to give them an approval a lot quicker. Unfortunately, you know, the downside of the program growing and our activity growing 25%, but, you know, overall the program is growing, and that has put a huge burden on the Sacramento Loan Processing Center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were looking at five or six hundred deals a month, and last month during the month of March they were over 1,000 applications that they were looking at.
You're kidding. Oh my gosh.
So when you put that kind of a burden on a staff that hasn't grown, you know, that's why turnaround times now are so long, because they're just so overworked. Now they have received additional funding for personnel, and they are also receive funding for personnel to work overtime. Well, but you know, let's go back to that life work balance. You know, if you've got people working too many hours, that does, you know, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, you know.
Boy, isn't
that
true?
Those people aren't happy, and you know, those people need a break as well.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
with SBA giving them additional funding for mm-hmm. additional personnel and to work overtime,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's going to help. But I think the only way we're really going to help that burden is with the 504 Express. And if we could do that,
that'd be huge.
NADCO has come out and said that would have eliminated a third of their loan volume having to review.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So if they can get that 504 Express, of which we are patiently waiting for regulation, and hopefully that's the next set of regulations that are going to come out after refi.
Yeah.
But if we can get those regulations in place, and certified development companies can do $500,000 504s with mm-hmm. unilateral authority, that's a huge, huge help to the borrower and a huge relief to the Sacramento Loan Processing Center, so they can go ahead and do the processing that they need to on the other loan.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Zola, you've been at RMI since 1983. You've seen a lot of administrations come and go, a lot mm-hmm. of them. And I have a really great feeling with President Biden and Vice President Harris that they're very supportive of the SBA and very supportive mm-hmm. of small business. And do you have that general sense that I have? Is that they're really proactive and really going to be a great asset?
I believe as well. I believe that as well. You know, we're really only 100 days, if you will, into the new administration, but mm-hmm. there's been changes at the SBA, at Capital Access, and the change that has happened, I think, is going to be very positive.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for ways to remove barriers mm-hmm. on the 504 program to make it less burdensome for borrowers and for certified development companies, because, you know, just over the years, I have seen so much more burden put on certified development companies and borrowers mm-hmm. that an application now is just a tremendous amount of work.
Yes, it is.
And some of those things are important, and some of those things I don't think are important to the processing of the credit. So, you know, I think this administration is going to take a hard look at that type of thing.
Yes.
And try and break down those barriers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always been one of the things we've discussed here, is that you could work on a $50,000 loan or a $5 million loan, and the process is the same.
You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Zilla, from 1983, a follow-up question to that, from 1983 to today, what is the one single biggest change you've seen in the former 503 and now 504? What would be, if you had to pick one thing, what's the biggest change you've seen in that period of time?
Probably just the raw size of a 504 loan.
Oh.
When we first started doing this program back in 1983, the biggest debenture we could do was $500,000.
Oh, you're kidding. Really?
No, it was a $500,000 debenture. And,
wow.
You know, and even though that's been, you know, 30-plus years ago, and costs have changed and all of that, you know, that was a big deal, though.
Big
you know,
deal.
$500,000 debenture, we could do a project that was $1 million, up to $1 million or so. You
that
know,
was
that
a
was
deal.
A big deal for us.
Yeah.
And we were doing $200,000-$300,000 debentures. I think that was about our average in that range. And now we can do deals, you know, we can do $5 million, $5.5 million debentures. So we could do deals up to $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see that change, you know, we're looking at some pretty, I mean, they're still considered small businesses, but that's a pretty big project.
Oh wow,
$10 million project.
Yes.
Versus, you know, maybe $1 million project. So over time, it's been fascinating to see how the size of the project itself and then the sophistication of the projects that we see now have changed over time.
Mm-hmm. Small business can get pretty big.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But those are the ones that create the good jobs, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Zola, as far as ventures, CDC, it's the software that many of the CDCs, or maybe most of the CDCs in the U.S. use, a software program to assist with loan preparation, documents, and submission. Were you involved in the early stages of the former ventures? I think people might find that interesting. Were you guys, what were you using in 1983? Because ventures and wasn't around.
Pencil and paper.
I still do that.
I remember doing my first 1244 with a pencil, a paper, and a calculator.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
I remember when we first got computers in the office.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So,
isn't that amazing?
Then the loan management software, LMS,
mm-hmm. yep.
was the first software that came out that was specifically designed to do to do the 504 program and to track 504s.
Mm-hmm.
And because the industry was kind of at the point where we had grown, and it was necessary for us to have something like that, to be able to generate the forms, to be able to help us process better, quicker, with better quality applications.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so the loan management software came out, and that was the first software that came out for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ventures came out shortly after that, just because there's no reason to have one. I mean, that's a monopoly,
mm-hmm.
and we're all about capitalism and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Ventures came out, and so it was a competitor to LMS.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually the two merged and became one, and now it's all under the name of Ventures.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been kind of an interesting change, too.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Zilla, when I first came to NEDCO, I thought LMS was a little barbaric. It was a bit dated, and I personally love the Ventures platform. I think it's made our operations go really smooth, and I think it's one of the best ones out there because we see a lot of bank write-ups, and I think Ventures, the credit memo that they produce is the best one out there, I think, but that's probably just because I'm using it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's you know, LMS was the first, so it's gonna have some bumps with it. It was written under the program of FoxPro, I believe, if that rings a bell to it anybody, does. If anybody knows what that...
I remember Fox Pro.
Okay, so it was written with the database or whatever that was Fox Pro.
Wow.
And then it kind of evolved from there. And then when Ventures came out, it was a lot more sophisticated. But to give you a little background on Ventures, Ventures was actually developed by the number one CDC in the country at the time. CDC Small Business Finance in San Diego actually created a software company to write and develop Bread Ventures, which is what we use now. So if you their sheer volume of loans and the sophistication that they were in need of at the time, that drove where Ventures is now.
Wow.
So
Wow. Wow,
but
what a
yes,
story.
Ventures is wonderful. We couldn't live without it.
Yeah. But to give our listeners an idea of how big of an operation Zola has, they're speaking of San Diego and the California CDC. Give or take, there's around 200 certified development companies that are currently licensed in the U.S. and RMI, with Zola Finch as leading that organization, is consistently in the top 20 to 25 in loan volume every month in and out. And if you look at that compared to per capita volume of loans, it's really an incredible feat. If you look at California, which would be, the eighth largest economy in the world, and Florida, huge, and New York, huge, and then we get into the heartland, and we don't have nearly that concentration of people.
Nor is the real estate value as high as it is there.
Yes, yes. So when you look at RMI and you look at the statistics in your area there, you know, that's a big deal. RMI is a big deal in the region. Big deal. Congratulations. So, that's really something.
Well, yep. Thank you. We have a wonderful team here, have had ever since I've been here. We have a very, very experienced team that is very as passionate about this program as I am. And, you know, the key to all this is to hire people that are smarter than you. So
howdy.
That's what I try to do. Because they're the ones that are going to be working the program, and I'm just sitting and watch them do it, and I'm amazed at how they perform, and especially during COVID and everybody working remotely and never missed a beat. So
I as well.
It's a tribute to the staff and the passion and the expertise and the customer service that they provide.
Sure. Well, we're getting close to wrapping up here. Jason, I see you have one last question for Zola, and then we'll...
Yeah, I'm curious. You know, 504 loans, we're out there helping borrowers, but at the same time, you know, there's a third-party lender that's benefiting from it as well. But then, you know, these 504 loans, they really help deals get done that might not get done another way. So, you know, the construction company, they might benefit from our lending, and you know, real estate agents trying to sell loans. Do you get a majority of your deals from other banks, or do you see it from some other sources like real estate agents and you know, just other places like that?
I would say 99% of our referrals are from the third party lender or from the banks. Because when a small business needs help with growing and expanding or building or buying a building, which is what our program's for, they're going to go see their banker most likely first, their accountant and their banker. So we get probably 99% from there. Now, we do have some commercial realtors and brokers that know our program and know it well and partner with us, and we get referrals from them. And a couple of accountants that do the same. But most of the time, they come from the lenders. So we have learned over time that's truly our customer, too, is the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have relationships with probably close to 1,500 banks in our area that we serve. And we serve 200,000 square miles. So within that area, we've got a relationship with 1,500 bankers, and we keep that relationship. And my marketing manager is all about relationship building and maintenance. So when we're doing our marketing, those are the people we're going to go out and see, because so many of the referrals come from those lenders. And they're a very important partner because we can't do 504 without them.
Zola, is it the case in California, I might be wrong, but in California, do a majority or a good number of the 504 projects come in from real estate brokers to the bank? And is the catalyst a different? We've tried that here before in Nebraska to go have brokers actually become really active in the 504 program, but we haven't had any luck. But
we're right there with you, Scott. We've done the same. We do market to them, and their state associations, their state real estate associations. It's just, you know, as I said, you know, we're in the heartland. We're different. Our economy is different. Our market is different. And, yes, yeah, so you're right. In California, they have a large number of commercial brokers and realtors that do referrals. Now, you also have to think about the size of the population, and you have to think about the cost of real estate out there. And, you know, those guys are always trying to get people into the financing that they need when they're buying a building so that they can close on the deal and earn their commission. So it's a totally different market and economy in the California area. But yeah, I don't know if it's the majority referrals come from them, but I know that a lot of CDCs get referrals from commercial brokers and realtors.
Well, this has been great information, Zola. We can't thank you enough for coming on to the show, and this will be published both in our NEDCO 504 show and then our national show as well. So we hope to have you back on the show again as a guest.
Oh, it would be my pleasure, Scott. And our friendship over the years has really grown into podcasting. How about that?
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. It's always been a great pleasure to talk to you, and I mean that sincerely. In the early days of NEDCO, we may not be having this conversation if you hadn't helped. I mean, can you imagine coming into the 504 industry having never seen one? Like I did, you know, and you needed someone like you to give us some direction, or I think it would have been maybe impossible.
Well, NEDCO is it's really good that they have you there. You're a great leader there. You had turned that CDC around, and it's an amazing story in itself. And I just want to say one more thing.
Yes.
Go Big Red.
Hey. we're hopeful, too. We are hopeful. Zola, thanks a million. And all of Zola's contact information will be at our website shortly. And we look forward to having you on the show again. And thanks and have a great day.
Thanks so much, Scott. Thanks, Will and Jason. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
This has been a production of the Nebraska Economic Development Corporation. All rights reserved.